The book of Psalms 103. Psalms 103. We've been studying about the attributes and the person of God and His works toward us as far as how He exercises these attributes and these characteristics. This morning I want us to consider the total forgiveness of God and what the scriptures describe to us here concerning it. We have churches today full of people that are hurt and ashamed from past sins, others that feel insignificant to the work of the Lord or insignificant to their ability to service, whether they feel like they're too young, too old, too busy, or don't know enough, and every other reason that we can think of that comes into our hearts and our minds that keeps us from the service of the Lord. This morning, I want us to consider the debt of the forgiveness of our Lord for us. So that those of you that are ashamed of your past or perhaps feel inadequate in some way, I want to encourage you today as we consider this reality of God. I want to encourage you to fulfill the will of God in your life, to serve Him, to do what He has called you to do. Sometimes we have misconceptions that God only has a plan for the preachers and the teachers. But the reality is, as a child of God, if you are redeemed today, if Jesus is your Lord, you have a purpose and a plan given you by God to fulfill in this world. He has a plan for every last one of us. But the fact that He has saved us shows us that we are a part of that plan that He has for us. And so I want us to look today at this idea of the total forgiveness that God has for His people. Notice with me Psalm 103. We're going to read the first 12 verses of this passage and come back and look at a few of these as we consider this thought this morning. He says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all of thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known His ways unto Moses, His acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us." Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer before we continue in our study this morning. Our Father in heaven, we thank You again for this day. We thank You, Father, for Your grace. We thank You, Father, for Your goodness and Your mercy toward us. We thank You that You've allowed us another day that we can come into Your house. Spend this time, Father, in worship of You, lifting up Your name, declaring, Father, Your glory and Your goodness to us, and how wondrous are Your blessings upon us, how innumerable they are as You pour them out. And we recognize, Father, that it is all by Your person, by who You are, that these things are accomplished for us. And Father, we pray that you'd help us to see these scriptures today, that we would have understanding of these things, to realize truly how deep, how wondrous is your love for us, that you would forgive us so perfectly and in so holy a way, that these things that we have failed you in, these many transgressions that have brought us short of your glory so often, so many times, every single day, are removed from us in Christ Jesus our Lord. Father, we thank you for such forgiveness. Help us as we look to your word now. Bless each soul that's come this way this morning. If there be any that are lost in our midst today, we pray, Father, that your hand would be upon them, that you'd draw them unto yourself, that you'd cause them to see Christ Jesus even this very hour as Lord and Savior. Father, forgive us of our many sins and our shortcomings. Draw us to you. Help us, Father, to be faithful servants unto your name. For those that are sick and afflicted, those that have been mourning even now, we just pray that you be with each one. Give them that which they have need of this hour. Help us as we look to your word. Give us understanding again of these things. For we ask these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Now, again, notice with me what he says here concerning this forgiveness. It says in verse 3, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. He says again there in verse number 8, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always side, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy for them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Our sins, our Lord forgives so completely that he cast our sins as far as the east is from the west to us. No matter how far you go west, you never get east. But no matter how far you go east, you never get west. So you continue in that state. We live on a sphere, and we're living on a sphere. There's no way you can ever meet up with where the other begins. That's how, this is just an illustration that David writes for us to explain to us here truly the depth of God's forgiveness for his people. To cast our iniquity away from us as far as the east is from the west. Again, verse, well, go back, let's look in Isaiah 43 real quick. Isaiah 43 and verse number 25. Isaiah 43 and verse 25. The Lord says, I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins. I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins. He says in Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18, come now, let us reason together, he says, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Our Lord washes us completely. In his forgiveness, we are totally removed from our transgressions and our sins. They are completely paid for in Christ. He has saved us to the uttermost. That is the reality of being in Christ Jesus. We are completely saved before the throne of God. There is no sin that can be laid to our charge. We are made justified in His sight, made just as if we have never sinned before the throne of God. Now this only is possible, as we've already discussed concerning these things about our Lord and about His character, this is only possible through Christ Jesus our Lord. There's no other way that we can be forgiven. There's no other way that our sins can be washed from us. There's no other way that we can be made right before the throne of God without the blood of Christ. It is the blood of Christ that meets the requirement of God's holiness. It is the blood of Christ and His sacrifice for us that meets the requirement of the righteousness of God. It is that death of Christ for us on the cross of Calvary that meets the necessity for the sacrifice in our place, because we cannot pay for our sin ourselves. And our sin must be paid for. Our sin must be taken care of. Our sin must be washed from us. And the only way it can be washed is in the blood of Christ Jesus. We don't have the ability to clean ourselves. We must have Christ. We must have Him. And that is the only way that we can experience this forgiveness. But what we find is, as a child of God, when we are coming to the knowledge and to the understanding of Christ, and we are coming to the understanding of truly what He has done for us, we must first see ourselves as we are, as depraved sinners before the throne of God. And that reality of sin in us brings as it is being revealed to us, as we begin to see ourselves in our sin and see God for who He is in His holiness, in His righteousness, in His perfection, and we begin to see and be able to compare ourselves to God, there is a great shame that comes on us. There is a great dread that comes on us because of our sin. We see truly how far we are from God. We see truly how great we are separated from Him. And we see then our need for Christ because of the depth of that sin in us. And we can come to Him. And He commands us to repent. He commands us to come to Him, to receive that salvation, to have that He has provided for us. And He commands every men everywhere to repent. And we go and we receive Christ. He comes in unto us. He removes that sin from us. He makes us the children of God in this payment for us. And He makes all of these things known to us. But very quickly, especially in a young Christian's life, and let me tell you, it can hang on for years and years and years and years afterwards, but very quickly, the elation of salvation, the elation of what Christ has done for us, can be overwhelmed in the guilt of our past. We can very easily recognize fully, I'm saved in Christ. I'm forgiven in Him. But boy, I messed up so bad. God can use me. Look how bad I messed up. Look at the sins. Look at the weight of my wickedness behind me. And listen, every single one of us has a path of destruction behind us. Every single one of us. We can all turn around and look and see, oh man, look what a mess I made. And we can become very quickly overwhelmed by our failures and forget his benefits. He tells us here again, verse number 3 of our text here, he says, who redeemeth, verse 3, right, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Again, verse 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Now, don't misunderstand me here. When I'm describing to you our place, we need to be mindful. We need to remember the consequences of our sin. We need to occasionally understand. We need to occasionally go over in our minds the wonder and the depth of God's salvation for us and realize, man, I am an awful sinner before the throne of God. Paul described himself talking about his own sin and what he had done. He described himself as the chief of sinners. But Paul got hindered by those sins of the past to do what God called him to do. He went forward. He continued on declaring this glorious gospel of Christ and what the full forgiveness that came in Christ Jesus. And so he used what he's done in the past. He used his failures before. He used his shortcomings then to show, to reveal to those that were there within his hearing that he'd be able to declare, look, this is what God's done in me. This is what, yes, I was an absolute mess before. Look what he's saying. Look what he's done. Look how he's using. But I'm able to serve the Most High God. Forget not all his benefits. Verse 10, he says, he hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Now again, understand, David is writing to the children of God. He's writing to saved people. God's not dealt with us after our sins. He dealt with our sins in Jesus. They're washed from us. And you say that in verse 12, they are removed from us as far as the east is from the west. He's not dealt with us after our sins or rewarded us according to our iniquities. We are totally and eternally forgiven in Christ. God has loved us with such a mercy and such a grace that he has cast him away from us as far as the east is from the west. He has forgotten them. And we likewise, once forgiven, need to cast away that guilt and shame as well. And glorify him in what he has done for us and move forward in our service to the Lord. Now, again, in our forgiveness, that does not remove from us the consequences of sin. Every one of us has scars from our sin. We have scars emotionally. We have scars physically. Every single one of us have scars, consequences that are a part of our sinfulness. And there are still consequences that come when we fail. When we sin, even now, we come short of God's glory. There's still natural consequences that the Lord will allow on us. There's still emotional consequences that he allows to come on us. that it is in salvation those consequences are not necessarily removed. The Lord can in His grace, if He wants to remove them, He can, but He doesn't always remove them. Most often He doesn't. He leaves them as a reminder for us. Just to remind us truly how far we have come in His forgiveness. That He has worked such a glorious forgiveness for us. Some Christians have misconceptions of forgiveness, thinking that since they are forgiven, they can behave any way they want to. I question somebody with that mindset. I mean, we all act like that from time to time. But somebody with that mindset, that is the crux of their thinking, I would question their salvation at all. Because they don't understand truly what it was that God redeemed them from if they think that they can go on and live in wickedness. I've had people explain that or describe that to me before in the fact that we believe in eternal security, that once we are saved, we are eternally saved in the Lord Jesus. And there are those that believe that you can lose your salvation, and they say, well, if I believe the way you believe, I just live any way I want to live. Well, you don't understand salvation. You don't understand then what we have in Christ. You don't understand what He saved you from. And you think that you can live sinfully in any way that you want. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 6. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 6. For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. That means every one of us that are children of God, we have been totally forgiven. We've been forgiven completely. Our sins never to be remembered. They are passed from us as far as the east is from the west. And yet, will every one of us fail Him today? Will every one of us fail Him tomorrow? Will everyone sin against God? And it is God in His grace dealing with us. He chastens us. He comes to us in our sin against Him. He comes to us and he puts His hand, a hand of conviction most often, simply a almost like a weight on you that you feel, oh Lord, I've messed up. Oh Lord, I've sinned. And you can feel that weight of His hand there upon you. For some, as Paul would describe in 1 Corinthians, there are some who ignore it. They throw it off. I'm going to go on. I'm going to continue on in this path. I'm going to go on and do what I want to do, live the way I want to live. It don't matter the hand of God on me. And they go further and further in their run from God. And we can all look back in our lives and see those times where we went for those little jogs. Sometimes a big sprint to get away from the presence of God. But we didn't like the way it was going. We didn't think that He had our best interest at heart. We thought we could do things better than He could do it. We thought we had it all figured out in ourselves, and so we would take off and go our own direction, do our own thing, and we would throw off that conviction, we would throw off that heavy hand of God upon us and continue on until He would really grab a hold of you. Listen, if you are a child of God, you will never be able to run away from Him. He'll allow you to go a little ways, He'll allow you to go a little ways. And he's got a plan how far he's going to allow you to go away from him. He knows the length of his rope. But you will never, as a child of God, you will never get away from him. He will always bring back his children. He will always bring back his children. You will not get away from it. No matter how you may try to run, his chastening is upon every one, every son that he receiveth, everyone that has experienced the salvation of Christ Jesus has also experienced the chastening of the Lord. And if you've never experienced the chastening of the Lord, if you've never experienced his conviction, if you've never been chastened because of the sins in your life, if you can sin all that you want to and do not know that heavy hand of God upon you, then Paul says you're not saved. You need to be born again. Because if you're truly redeemed, if you're truly a child of God, God's hand will be on you when you sin. And because of that, because of his chastening, he sometimes works this, chastening with consequences. Go to 2 Samuel chapter 12. 2 Samuel chapter number 12. David was the king of David's men were in battle. David stayed home. He saw Bathsheba on the rooftop bathing herself, and he called Bathsheba to his home, and there he had relations with Bathsheba, whose husband, by the way, Uriah the Hittite, was in the battlefield for David, a faithful servant to his king. And she became pregnant by David. David, hearing that, tried to cover it up, and he called Uriah from the battlefield to bring report and send him home to his house. But Uriah was such a faithful servant to David. He said, "How can I go home to the comfort of my wife when my brethren are out on the battlefield? I will not go to my home. I'll sleep here for the night and go back to the battlefield tomorrow." He refused to go home because of his faithfulness to his king. And so David couldn't cover up his sin. And so he demanded then that they would take Uriah up to the wall of the city that they were attacking, and they would leave him by himself. The rest of the army would withdraw, leave him as a rear guard, and leave him to be slaughtered by the enemy. And that's exactly what took place by David's order. And Uriah the Hittite was killed. And David very quickly, "Oh, poor Uriah. Oh, my great servant Uriah. So faithful to me. I'm going to take care of his family and take care of his household." And he immediately brought Bathsheba into his house and married her and made her his wife, to try to cover up this sin of adultery. So now David committed adultery, and he's ordered the killing, literally murder, of Uriah. This goes on with David for almost a year. Goes through the whole pregnancy of Bathsheba. The baby is born of David and Bathsheba, and the baby is sick upon birth. And Nathan comes to David. This is found in chapter 12 here of 2 Samuel. Beginning in verse number 9, Nathan, of course, tells David a story about a poor man who had his lamb, a lamb that he loved greatly, had it stolen by a rich man. And that rich man stole that man's lamb and killed it for his people that came to visit him, and David was greatly angered because of this. In fact, he says in verse 5 that David's anger was greatly kindled against the man, and he said to Nathan, "As the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die. He shall restore the land fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity." David had gotten so far away from God. He got so far away because of this sin. He had run as far as he could run away from that heavy-handed conviction of the Lord, that he thought that he had somehow escaped anyone finding out his sin. So much so that when his story is told to him using an allegory, he didn't recognize it and said, "Well, that man will die. He shall surely die," he said. And Nathan said to David there, verse 7, "Thou art the man." You're the one who did that, David. That's your sin. Verse 12, it says, "For thou didst it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun." And David said unto Nathan, "I have sinned. I have sinned against the Lord." And Nathan said unto David, "The Lord also hath put away thy sin, thou shalt not die. Howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of God to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die." And Nathan departed unto his house, and the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bare unto David, and it was very sick. And so, here, because of David's sin, there was a great consequence that would come upon him and Bathsheba here in the loss of this child. There are consequences. David here is a child of God. David here was a man after God's own heart. Because of his sin, there was a great consequence that came. Understand, every time there's a bad thing that happens in our lives, it's not a consequence to sin. There are things that God allows. There are trials that he allows to come into our life to build us, to strengthen us, to grow us in Christ Jesus, but they're not all consequences for sin. And so be careful when you start pointing at other people and seeing these things happen, these bad things happen in their lives, and say, "Oh, they must have done something there to make God mad." That's not the case. We don't know. Only you know when it is a consequence for sin in your life. And so here, David had a great consequence that came because of his sin. We see many examples of that in the Scripture. Ananias and Sapphira are one that experienced that immediate tasting of God. They died because of their sin. They're in Acts chapter 5. They died right there. Good Christian people fall every day into sin. And there are consequences that come by that sin. All sorts of consequences that come. Again, physical consequences, there are emotional consequences that come, but there are all sorts of consequences that can come because of our sin. And the Lord, quite frankly, has protected us from many consequences that could be. From many that could be. And yet he's allowed many to come in our lives, many to come our way, that have been because of our sin. But in our text again, David writes there in Psalm 103, he says to us there in verse number 10, or verse 9 rather, "He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities." Even in his chiding, even in his spankings that he gives us, it's nowhere near what we deserve. Nowhere near what we deserve. And even in the presence of those overwhelming consequences, God will give us the grace we need to endure those consequences. Again, go back to 2 Samuel with me. Look beginning in verse 15 there of chapter 12. And look what David does here. 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse number 15. It says, Nathan departed into his house, and the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bare unto David, and it was very sick. And David therefore besought God for the child, and David fasted and went in and lay all night upon the earth. The elders of his house arose and went to him to raise him up from the earth, but he would not, neither did he eat bread with them. It came to pass on the seventh day that the child died. And the servants of David feared to tell him that the child was dead, for they said, Behold, while the child was yet alive, we spake unto him, and he would not hearken unto our voice. How will he then vex himself if we tell him that the child is dead? But when David saw that his servants whispered, David perceived that the child was dead. Therefore David said unto his servants, Is the child dead? And they said, He is dead. Then David arose from the earth and washed and anointed himself and changed his apparel and came into the house of the Lord and worshipped. Then he came to his own house, and when he required, they set bread before him, and he did eat. Then said his servants unto him, What thing is this that thou hast done? Thou didst fast and weep for the child while he is yet alive, but when the child is dead, thou didst rise and eat bread. He said, While the child was yet alive, I fasted and wept, for I said, Who can tell whether God will be gracious to me that the child may live? But now he is dead, wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. And David comforted Bathsheba his wife, and went in unto her, and lay with her, and she bare a son, and he called his name Solomon. And the Lord loved him. And he sent by the hand of Nathan the prophet and called his name Jedidiah because of the Lord. Great consequence because of David's sin. And yet God, in his grace, strengthened him even in that consequence that he was able to face it. That he was able to endure it, that he was able to go through it, and then after having experienced the consequence, could continue on in his service to the Lord. Continue on and be faithful in his work for him and do what God had given for him to do. And not hold on and be hindered by those things of the past. We are told in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 10, that in our salvation, in God redeeming us unto himself, not only has he set us apart for salvation, but he has set us apart to do his work. He says there in verse 10, For we are his workmanship. That's the Greek word koinia, which is where we get our word for coin. We are his workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. He has got a plan for your life. He's got a purpose for you, and you will fulfill it. You will fulfill that purpose. You will fulfill that plan. He has good works before ordained for you to perform, for you to do, to accomplish his purpose and his plan for your life. Romans chapter 8, Paul says there in verse 29, For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. God has saved you. He has redeemed you. He has forgiven you to make you like Christ Jesus. And he will continually make us in that work of Christ. It's called sanctification. It is the process in this life that you and I will go through being made more and more and more like Christ as we grow in him. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul speaks here of a thorn in the flesh that hindered him. And he asked God to remove this thorn from him. Now this thorn was, the way Paul words it here, was likely not a consequence of sin, but rather a consequence of service. But this is an injury or associated with an injury that Paul had received in the service from the Lord. And this ailment came upon him here because of that. And he tells us there in verse 7 of 2 Corinthians 12, "Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan," he calls it. Now, he calls it that before he is enlightened by God. He says this is a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. "For this thing, I besought the Lord Christ that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness." So God's answer to him was, "No, I'm not going to take it away from you, Father. I'm leaving it with you. You're going to hold on to this thorn in your flesh. And by it, I'm going to show my strength through you to those around you. That it will shine forth. My strength will shine forth through you because of this thorn that you have." And where Paul was weak then in the flesh because of this thorn, God was showing strong by working through that thorn. "So my grace," he says, "is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness." And now suddenly this thorn in the flesh, this messenger of Satan sent to buffet him, Paul says of it, "Most gladly therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." For when I am weak, then am I strong. No matter what our condition, no matter what our circumstances, no matter how old or how young, how ignorant of the scriptures we may be, God still gives us grace sufficient to carry out his will. To carry out his will. So continue forward. Continue to press forward the mark. Keep your eye upon Christ Jesus. And as David writes to us here again in Psalm 103 and verse number 2, Psalm 103 and verse 2, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Forget not all his benefits. Our Lord has completely forgiven us in Christ. Completely forgiven us in Christ. Do you have Christ Jesus today? Do you know that forgiveness that can only come in him? Repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ today. Call upon him, for he is the only way of salvation. He is the only way of forgiveness of sin. He is the only way of eternal life. Only that payment Christ made for you will make you right and clean before the throne of God. Call upon Christ Jesus this day. Let's all stand. Brothers, you bring us a song now.